Welcome back to The Source. I'm Paul Flavin for David Martin Davies. It was Christmas in July last Thursday when the moratorium on signing free agents lifted and Portland Trailblazer LaMarcus Aldridge signed a new max contract with the San Antonio Spurs. I'm sure a few people out there are thinking, yeah, we knew that. He tweeted it a week ago. But as Los Angeles Clipper and then Dallas Maverick and then back to Los Angeles Clipper DeAndre Jordan showed us, anything's possible until it's down on paper. Here is the new Spurs power forward LaMarcus Aldridge talking about his fitting into the new team last Friday.
I see myself fitting in well. You know, I think they've shown over the years that they can plug in any guy in this system and, you know, have them perform at a high level. So I think my life is going to be easier, you know, in this system. I'm going to get easier shots. I think Tim is going to help me and vice versa. So, you know, I think my transition into the offense is going to be easy.
What will last week's shakeups across the league mean for next season here in San Antonio, but also on other teams? Was there someone you hoped the Spurs would keep or go after? Give us a call, 210-614-8980. What do you think the Spurs record will be? That's 614-8980. Joining me to talk about this is Neil Greenberg, sports writer at the Washington Post, as well as Ben Bolch from the Los Angeles Times. Welcome to The Source, guys.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
How's it going?
Neil, you just heard Aldridge sounding very confident about his adapting to the team. You were covering his courtship and have written about his game. How well do you think he'll fit in?
I think he fits in very well, especially giving the Spurs a legitimate scoring threat in the post. I mean, he was absolutely right. He can definitely fit into what the Spurs like to do, and that's create a lot of ball movement, especially for the corner three. But it gives them, as I said, a legit threat to score in the post. He had over 600 possessions on post-ups last year. The Spurs as a team had about 800. So he'll certainly help there. And I think it's a great fit. It's a great pickup for the Spurs.
I think I saw a statistic in passing. He would have fit in about fourth in terms of ball movement on the Spurs. It's been pointed out that he is a stop and go shooter at times, though. So maybe in a little bit of an opposition to the Spurs' constant movement game. Do you think that's going to be easily rectified?
Well, actually, he's a really good spot up shooter on the catch and shoot. So his second most frequent play was the catch and shoot. It's the play that the Spurs run most often. So it's going to be good for ball movement, and then he can score mid range. He can drive to the basket. He can occasionally hit the 3-point shot. But what I think that you're going to see most is a lot of ball movement on the perimeter with Tony Parker, Danny Green, and Kawhi Leonard to get them the open shot. If that's not there, then you have two big guys in Aldridge and also obviously Tim Duncan who can beat you inside. So it's going to be a nice inside-outside game, and he should fit in pretty seamless.
Ben Bolch, for more than a decade, I'd say the Spurs were called a boring team to watch for almost a decade. But with the addition of Kawhi Leonard and the development of Danny Green, now LaMarcus Aldridge, can we finally say that the Spurs are not a boring team to watch?
Well, I would have countered that argument from the start. You know, watching the finals last year when they just dispatched the Heat like they were a YMCA rec league team. I mean, I'd never seen anything like that. And I mean, I knew it was going to be almost impossible to replicate, but just because, I mean, the ball movement was seamless. Everybody was passing up, you know, the good to great saying that they have, passing up good shots to great shots. And, you know, if that's boring, I'll take boring because, you know, it was an unbeatable approach. But I understand what you're saying about, you know, the appeal and excitement of adding a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge to the mix and what that can do kind of for their star power outside of their big three plus one with Kawhi. So, and let's not forget David West, you know, former All-Star, come into the mix for a huge discount. He's going to add some excitement as well. So certainly they're going to be one of the most interesting teams to watch to see how they integrate all these new pieces.
So absolutely, David West, can't forget that. He took, I think, an $11 million pay cut to come from Indiana. What causes a person to take an $11 million pay cut, Neil?
I'm not sure. I don't know if I could do it, but obviously, you know, seeing what the Spurs have done historically, which is be one of the best franchises in sports. Let's forget about basketball for a second. I mean, there are many organizations that would love to be the San Antonio Spurs of their particular sport, but he obviously sees this as a great chance to win a title. When you look at the addition of Aldridge, you know, it shouldn't surprise anyone if this team won 60 games next year. I mean, they're going to be that good. They should be as dominating as the Golden State Warriors were this past season. So if you're looking for a ring and you've made enough money in your NBA career where you're comfortable, then sure, I can see why you would take less to go play with them, because they're just a phenomenal team from top to bottom. Everything about the team is great, from the coaching staff to the players to the system to how they just integrate themselves in basketball. And yeah, why wouldn't you want to be a part of that?
So we asked on Facebook what people thought of, if were they excited about LaMarcus coming to the team. And I'm only bringing this up because it seems so out of left field. One person was very much not happy about it. The Spurs are let me see this. The Spurs are five-time NBA champions, and what they did was beneath them. Aldridge has done what in his 9 years at the Portland Trailblazers to deserve a max contract? Does anybody want to maybe tell us what LaMarcus is known for?
Yeah, I'll jump in here. You know, he's one of the best big men in the NBA, and you know, one thing that we haven't discussed yet was, you know, all this analytics about how the mid-range jumper is dead and is. You know, is something that NBA teams are going away from. Well, LaMarcus Aldridge is the king of the mid-range jumper, and he's very effective at it and, you know, integrates that into his game, and he's going to be great for spacing purposes with the Spurs now, you know. And we can go down the list of all the Hall of Fame players who never played or won a championship. Just because you haven't been deep in the playoffs doesn't mean you're not a great player who can go on to the Hall of Fame. I mean, Chris Paul, let's look at Chris Paul with the Clippers. Point guard, has, you know, may not be the best point guard in the NBA right now, but certainly top five and has been, you know, in that range for the last 5 to 7 years. And, you know, so let's not get carried away with you know, winning NBA championships as being the end-all, be-all for NBA players.
Sure. Well, and sometimes the impact can be seen in what a team doesn't do. He averaged 23 points a game last year and 10 rebounds. So what's Portland looking at, Neil, this season without him?
They're in trouble. I mean, it's very difficult to replace a guy like Aldridge. I mean, like Ben said, he's one of the best big men in the league. He can hit his shots. He can create his shots. And he's a more than capable defender. I mean, he was one of the best big men defenders against the pick and roll last year. He is a good rim protector. I mean, he can help you on both ends of the court, so I'm not really sure where Portland goes from here. And, you know, we saw something similar with the Mavericks in terms of putting all their eggs in one basket, hoping to get the guy, and now there's no impact free agents to speak of, and it's just very difficult to get these athletic scoring big men in the league, and that's why they go for so much money, because there's not a lot of them.
Many people question Aldridge's choice to not go to a bigger market, saying that he's passing up endorsement deals, but he countered that Blake Griffin's really the only power forward that gets endorsements. Ben Bolch, got about 30 seconds. What do you think? Is the power forward too unsexy to get endorsements?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, we've gone through years of debate of what is a power forward with Tim Duncan. Is he a power forward? Is he a center? You know, it's all about personality and selling that. And so I think that is where, you know, the ultimate selling is going to come from. It's not necessarily just, you know, designation of.
All right, we've got to take a quick break. We're right back after this. Welcome back to The Source. I'm Paul Flav. We're talking about the big NBA moves across the league and here in San Antonio. Neil Greenberg writes about the NBA for The Washington Post, Ben Bolch for the LA Times. This is Community Conversation. If you've got thoughts, give us a call, 210-614-8980, or email us at thesource@tpr.org. Want to make sure we mention the Spurs, who are definitely not returning. Three-point specialist Marco Bellinelli signed with the Sacramento Kings. Point guard Corey Joseph went back to his native Canada with the Toronto Raptors. Power forward Aaron Bain signed with the Detroit Pistons, and Spurs traded Tiago Splitter to the Atlanta Hawks to make room in the budget for LaMarcus Aldridge. And as of this afternoon, still no info on Matt Bonner's future, still a free, unrestricted free agent. I wanted to talk about the Mavericks. We alluded to them in the first portion of the conversation. Ben Bolch, tell us a little bit more about the saga of DeAndre Jordan, what I'm sure Mavericks fans are calling the betrayal of DeAndre Jordan, and what maybe the Clippers fans are calling the redemption.
Yeah, it was unlike anything we've ever seen in an NBA free agency. I mean, I know that guys have gone back and reversed before, but reversed decisions, but just the way it unfolded with the whole courtship and the emoji war on Twitter and the Clippers, camping out at his place until in Houston until he could sign the contract. And there have been some other rumors that have been thrown out there that I'm not going to get into or substantiate because I'm not, frankly, I'm not sure that they're accurate. But as far as, what brought him back. But I do know that, I think he took a long, hard look at the situations. He got kind of caught up in the excitement of Chandler Parsons and the pursuit of the Dallas Mavericks and their compelling case about how he would be, the featured part of their offense and he would be the man and one of the best centers in the NBA. That all is true. And I think he just kind of wanted to soak that all in. I mean, here's a guy who had never gone through free agency where the ball was in his court as far as he could choose a team. And here was a team meeting with him the moment free agency started at a fancy sushi dinner, and then they made their formal pitch, later on, and just totally wowed him. And I think he got caught up in that. And then, a day later or so, when all the pitch meetings were over, he kind of sat back and said, hey, wait a minute, this was all fun, but what's the reality of my situation going forward? And I think he looked at the Clippers roster, saw Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, two of the top 10 NBA players, and some of the new pieces that have been, added around them with Paul Pierce and Lance Stephenson, and thought that was, something that he didn't want to walk away from. And I'll mention two more things quickly. I think that his relationship with Doc Rivers is very strong, and that was a big factor. And I do think he takes pride in the transformation of the Clippers from a team that was 19-63 his rookie year that's now in contention in the Western Conference. So I think all those factors kind of played together in making him come up with this stunning reversal.
So, I mean, the story you're giving us is one of an overexcited young person who just, sees something new and wants to maybe think about going there and just gets a little ahead of himself. Is there any other reason to think that he was ready for a change, Neil Greenberg?
I think the lure of being a bigger part of the offense was probably part of it. It seems to me that Mark Cuban looked at him and kind of threw some scenarios at him where he would be a much bigger part of the offense in Dallas than he would be in Los Angeles. And that's probably true, but the talent level in Los Angeles is way better than that's in Dallas. I mean, in Dallas you have Dirk Nowitzki, who's obviously on the downside of his career, and they needed him, DeAndre Jordan, to be a focal point of the offense. Whereas in Los Angeles, I don't want to call him a role player because that's really downgrading his ability, but he's definitely a part of the supporting cast to Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. And when you look at how many touches he gets per game, especially in the front court, it's not a lot. So my guess is that he was lured with maybe being a little bit bigger focal point. Maybe that was, we talked a little bit earlier about endorsement deals and stuff like that. I mean, I'm sure that there was some talk of you could be the star here, which leads to more opportunities. But in the end, you look at how contentious the West is, you look at the path to the playoffs, and you look at best fit and also comfort level. Going back to the Clippers made all the sense.
So either Neil or Ben, where does that leave Dallas, though? Because they made a big push, and they thought they had their guy.
They're in a lot of trouble. I mean, there's the best free agent out there for them was probably Cantor, who just signed a max deal with the Oklahoma City Thunder. So now you're looking at perhaps a guy like Kevin Serafin in the big man role. I mean, there's just not a lot that's there. And Mark Cuban even alluded to such and said earlier before the free agency started, which was if he did strike out on one of these big free agent signings that he would actually consider tanking. Now, I don't think that he would do that to Dirk, especially, you know, in terms of loyalty. And I don't think the team is bad enough that they could sustain a tanking, but they're not going to be very competitive, in my opinion.
And Ben, anything to add?
Yeah, I agree with that. And it was interesting. I thought that even if DeAndre had gone to Dallas, I thought that they were still a notch below the Clippers. And frankly, I think that's a big reason that he didn't end up there is that, you know, he took a look at the pieces around him and said, now, this isn't a championship caliber team, and certainly you take him away and they're, you know, one giant step back in the other direction.
We're talking about big moves in the NBA here in San Antonio and across the league. Neil Greenberg with the Washington Post, Ben Bulch with the LA Times. Chris has called in, 210-614-8980 is the number. Chris, what's your thought?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to get back to the LaMarcus Aldridge comment and how a lot of people say that coming to San Antonio is a bad move, and you know he's giving up all this money to play in a smaller market. I want to say I think that's a complete cop out, and I think that's actually a knock towards the San Antonio Spurs as an organization, because it's more than apparent that the league is starting to catch up now to the Spurs style of play, but big markets like Los Angeles, ESPN especially, have just not highlighted the Spurs, if you will, for years and years and years. They'd always, they'd be minimalist at best when it came to reporting on the Spurs and how good they were actually doing. And so for people to say that, not to come to San Antonio because it's a smaller market, it's a complete cop-out. Because, people don't say that about Kevin Durant when he's going to Oklahoma City. People don't say that about Portland. It's a small market. It's not, it has nothing to do with that. I think it's more of a knock on the San Antonio Spurs. And generally across the league, if you're not from San Antonio or love the Spurs, you have a certain disdain for them because they are so good, and we've been so good for years and years.
All right, Chris, so, I think we got it. I do want to let these guys respond. This is a comment you will hear. If you're not, and Chris is obviously a passionate guy that loves the Spurs, but I'm not from San Antonio. I moved to San Antonio about 3 years ago, and this was something I heard almost every day from Spurs fans, which is like, they don't cover us, they don't want to report on us. But you guys aren't in the San Antonio echo chamber. What do you guys see?
Well, I would say that you mentioned Kevin Durant. Let's remember that he was drafted by the Thunder, so they they got him that way. That wasn't his choice to go there to begin with. But as far as players not coming to smaller markets, I think we're seeing a trend away from that. And I think the thing that people are starting to realize is that the teams are not as much the brand as they used to be, and now it's more the players themselves that are becoming the brands. Guys like LeBron James, and Kevin Durant, they're in small markets now, and they're as huge as anybody in New York, or certainly bigger than anybody in New York or L.A., they're getting the endorsements, they're getting the attention. And I think the NBA is becoming a place where you can do that now in almost any market. And actually, I think that's a great thing for the health of the league and for parity across the league.
Mm. And anything to add, Neil?
Yeah, and I agree 100% with Ben. It's not so much the market that you're in. It's how good of a player that you are. I think the NBA does the best job out of all the sports to market the individual players. And then when you add to that the rise in fantasy sports and picking players to play on your team, irrespective of where they actually play, then I certainly think that there's more loyalty to the player at this point than there is to the team itself. So if you have a guy like Durant, and sure, he was drafted by Oklahoma City, but he's a star because he's so good, it doesn't matter where he would play, he would still garner the attention. And you have these players creating their own logos. I mean, it's just something that we see more and more. The players, like Ben said, are driving the value of the NBA and not the other way around.
So back to the Spurs, what does this latest pickup of LaMarcus Aldridge and David West mean for a team that doesn't usually focus on free agency pickups? They're mostly a development and a draft pickup kind of a team. It's a departure. Any thoughts on that either, you guys?
Well, I would say one thing it means is that Greg Popovich is going to be around for quite a bit longer now that they've got LaMarcus Aldridge locked up here. It's going to create tremendous excitement. They're going to be I think that in my head, I've got four teams contending in the West right now, at the top of the heap, and I've kind of got the Warriors and the Spurs as kind of 1A and 1B, and you can really flip flop them. Obviously, the Warriors, kept their team pretty much intact from winning the championship. But the Spurs, with these new additions, are right there, and you could make a strong argument that they're a better team. And then right behind them, I would put the Clippers. And then, people are dismissing Oklahoma City, but let's not forget the last time that Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook were healthy in a full season, they went to the NBA Finals. So those are kind of my four teams, and man, is it going to be exciting. I thought last year was great, but this year, this next season, is going to, every night is just going to be something to watch.
Last thought, about 30 seconds left.
Yeah, the San Antonio Spurs, I do think, are the class of the West, and even more so than getting through the West, I think they casted a little bit of an eye towards the Cavaliers and to try to figure out what's the best way to beat them. And having perimeter shooting in addition to a player that can score in the post probably gives them the best chance to do that.
That's all the time we have for this today. Neil Greenberg writes about the NBA for the Washington Post. Ben Bolch does the same for the Los Angeles Times. Thanks, guys, for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Paul Flav. This is The Source. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is produced by Paul Flav and David Martin Davies. Our engineer is Doug DeMore. Management and oversight provided by News Director Shelley Koffler and VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Production assistance is provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.